Everybody has moments of ungratefulness. How did we get there, though? And how might we return to a grateful state of mind? We'll be breaking that down today on Soul 02. And welcome to Soul 02. This is a podcast that is putting the oxygen back into the Christian life one soul at a time. And we all suffer at times from ingratitude. And I say suffer because ingratitude is never a good thing, and it should never be preferred to anything else. But how did we get there, and how do we get back to a state of thankfulness as followers of Christ? Gratitude has been, and here's the, I'm calling this gratitude the secret of to living a fulfilled and abundant life. But the question remains is how do we get there? How do we go from ingratitude to gratitude? But first, what I want to give you is a definition of gratitude that I came across that's really good. Gratitude has been defined this way: a natural expression of thanks in response to blessings, protection, or love. And that makes sense. And however, if it's a response, it means that you have to see it to respond to it. And if you don't see it, then you can't respond to it. And in the Old Testament, life and flourishing could only exist under the conditions of thankfulness to God. That's the only way it worked. For Jews, the universe's beauty was a testament to God's dominion over all life, and they expressed their gratitude to God for that. You see that in Psalms 19 and Psalms 33 and Psalms 104. But there's something about ingratitude that tells us a lot about ourselves. So what does ingratitude tell us about ourselves? What does it say about the condition maybe of my heart or my mindset? Gratitude tells me one thing, or rather ingratitude, it tells me that I have short memories, or I suffer from short memories. We forgot the good things that we have been given. Spiritual immaturity is revealed by ingratitude. The more ungrateful we are, the more immature spiritually we show ourselves to be. Because it's something that is normal for children, for small children. You ever notice children don't always recognize the value of what their parents do or did for them? They only see what they're not getting now, what they're not getting today. But ingratitude also shows us that we tend to take things for granted. And things are taken for granted all the time when you're ungrateful. We don't see the good things that we have now. Emerson once said, "Everyone would stay up all night to see the stars if they only appeared once a year." So we no longer bother to look at the stars because we have seen them so frequently. That's the point. And which leads to a question: have we become so accustomed to our blessings, to what God has done for us, that we only notice life's struggles and hardships? But also, ingratitude kind of shows us one more thing that I want to give you today: tainted lens. Tainted lens is kind of like when you see things through a pair of glasses that are dirty or tainted or painted in a color where everything becomes that color. Have you ever heard the saying, "To the man with Limburg cheese in his mustache, the whole world stinks"? And I may have shared that in this podcast before, but it's about a story of this grandson who goes to visit his grandfather, and the grandfather says, "I'm going to go take a nap." So the little boy was kind of feisty and, you know, like Dennis the Menace type, you know. So he said, "Let me play a prank on grandpa." So he opens the fridge and finds this Limburg cheese. And he says, "I know what I'm going to do." So he takes the Limburg cheese and while his grandpa's snoring, you know, he kind of sticks it under his nose, you know, on his mustache, and kind of butters it on there. And so then he kind of sneaks away and closes the door. And so the grandfather wakes up and he's like, "What's that smell? It's terrible." And he says, "This room smells disgusting." And so then he gets up and he goes to the living room. He goes, "The living room stinks too. It's terrible." And then he says, "Well, surely outside would be nice." So he opens the front door and he realizes that it still smells. And he says, "The whole world stinks." Hence the saying, "To the man with Limburg cheese mustache, in his mustache, the whole world stinks." The point is that we lack gratitude overall when we have the wrong lens, and we tend to adopt a pessimistic and gloomy outlook to life. But with the Lord, when you serve God, he gives you the right way to look at it through his eyes. So a question maybe we can ask now is, what does genuine gratitude look like? And genuine gratitude is just a few things I want to give you real quickly, but genuine gratitude is deliberate first. Gratitude is not just a one-time thing, but a culture that we cultivate every day. You have to choose to be thankful, and that is very hard sometimes. A choice to be thankful, we're talking in the face of any Lindberger cheese that life deals you. That's deliberate. That's saying, nevertheless, that's saying, you know what, I get it, but. And again, look at Israel's gratitude. Israel's gratitude was part of their culture. It was part of their religion to God. And Israel placed such a high value on gratitude that it permeated most all of their rituals and practices. They even had a thank offering in Leviticus. You can read it in Psalms. You read about thank offerings where they would bring either a young bull or something, or some kind of food or something that was a thank offering to God. And so it was deliberate. When was the last time you took time when you prayed or talked to God just to thank him? And just to say, I'm going to take a few moments to just thank you for how faithful you've been. And this is why I'm thanking you. You did this, you did that. And enumerate the things he has done for you. So there's a deliberateness to it. But real gratitude also, how does it look like? It's connected. When I say connected, think of Psalm 95, 1 and 2, that says, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let's shout our praises to our protector who delivers us. Let's enter his presence with thanksgiving. Let's shout out to him in celebration. And we find that Paul urged believers to express gratitude for everything, since it is ultimately linked to responding to faith. That if you're a person of faith, you have faith in Christ, then you're grateful. Romans 14, 6. And 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, and to do it in the name of Christ. When you're thankful, you do it in the name of Christ, who has made all thanksgiving possible. Had he not died and resurrected, we'd have nothing to be thankful for, really. And he commanded Christians to pray in gratitude, right? In Philippians 4, 6, Ephesians 5, 20. Paul also said that Christians should give thanks in the Lord's Supper celebration. So that's, you know, in Western culture, we see it as a little act of communion, but in the New Testament, man, they had a whole dinner. That was communion. And they were supposed to be thankful for whatever they got. And just as the Lord gave thanks when he broke the bread, right? And when he multiplied the fish, he gave thanks, the Bible says. So to be Christian is to be thankful. And we're even to be thankful to the end of time. And we have this scripture in Revelation that says, then the 24 elders who are seated on the thrones of God or before God threw themselves down with their faces to the ground and worshiped God with these words, we thank you, or we give you thanks, Lord God, the all-powerful, the one who is, who was, because you have taken your great power and begun to reign. So they're thankful, even up until the eschaton, to the end of time, they're thankful to God. And this is how God wants us to be. This is a culture of thanks, of thankfulness. But thankfulness is also this. It is comprehensive. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything. Everything denotes comprehensiveness, right? It means everything. Everything means that there's no scenario where you shouldn't be thankful. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You know, some of the martyrs, before they were killed, they would often make these incredible comments. They would say these powerful things. And some of them would, one of them said, today his bride meets the groom, you know, meaning them, they're part of the bride of Christ, meets the groom. And then they ran to the lions. And there's something about thankfulness that it's not saying, Lord, thank you for this suffering and pain. You know, that's kind of weird, right? But thankfulness is an attitude that says, Lord, I see you in all these things, and I'm going to be grateful for who you are, even though maybe I'm suffering really, really badly right now. So everything means everything, right? And everything give thanks. So since God is in charge, we don't have to thank him just when things are good. We can thank him for everything because he promises to work all things for good. That's the point. But thankfulness is also known this way. It is constant. Again, Ephesians 5:20, always giving thanks to God the Father for each other in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we don't thank God just when we feel well, when the sun's out, when conditions are favorable, when life is nice, when there's a rainbow, when we've been given a balloon. We thank God always. Always implies that there isn't a time where we should not be thankful. Even on the worst day of our lives, there's something we can be thankful for. But I want to give this last because it's my favorite point of the day. Thankfulness is defiant. There's something about it that says it doesn't matter. That's why it says it beautifully in Romans. It begins with this word, no. What is it saying no to? All the problems, the struggles, the fears, the doubts, all of the things that life throws at you. And when Paul talks about suffering, it wasn't like first world problem sufferings where, you know, I suffer because maybe I lost my cat or I'm suffering because, you know, they took away my credit card. We're talking people were stoned, people were tortured, people were thrown to the animals, they were starved. I mean, that's suffering, right? But he says, no. In all these things, we have complete victory through him who loved us. There's something about that that is defiant. There's a thankfulness in his voice, in his posture. That thankfulness isn't just saying thank you, but it's an attitude that says no to any kind of pain and struggle and depression and doubt. Regardless of how awful the conditions and situations are, we are thankful. We challenge the circumstance with our thankfulness and with our praise. So we don't just wait for the blessing to be thankful. We're thankful no matter what. It was the most terrible moment in the war in Germany. And Germany was experiencing battles, starvation, and plague throughout the first part of the 17th century. And there was a clergyman named Martin Rinkart who lived in Eilenburg. And at one especially terrible time, when the 30-year war was terrorizing the populace and a plague was ravaging the town, Rinkart performed up to 50 burials every day. Try to put your head around that. He even buried members of his own family. This is how rough things were. But in defiance, Rinkart, he wrote and composed 66 melodies and hymns during those years of horror. When death and devastation seemed to wait every day to get them. And the song, Now Thank We All Our God, was one of them. As sorrow closed in all around him, he wrote this song. I'll just read you a few words. With hearts and hands and voice, who wondrous things hath done, in whom his world rejoices, who from our mother's arms hath blessed us on our way, with countless gifts of love and still is ours today. What a beautiful thing. What a beautiful thing to come from such an ugly situation. And there's something about this defiance that is very powerful. So I want to challenge you that being grateful has untold advantages. And it implies that it's always a good time to praise the Lord. It's always a good time to praise God and thank him. And again, it's more than just saying thank you. It's the attitude you have in that situation that says it without saying it. It doesn't imply that all of your issues will disappear, but it does mean that you will decide to see God's hand at work in everything, whether it's good or terrible, whether it's right or wrong, rather than letting your difficulties define who you are. So because of this reality of thankfulness, we can chime in with Frederick Buchner, who once said this. He said, here is the world. Beautiful and terrible things happen. Don't be afraid. So if you like this podcast, leave a like and subscribe and recommend it to a friend. And check us out we are on YouTube, Buzzsprout, Spotify, Google Podcast, and Facebook. So until next time, I want to thank you so much for being with me, and God bless you and have a great day.